May the Lord give you his peace. Good afternoon. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. Joining me live today is Brother Tommy Pialata from the Capuchin Franciscan Friars.
Hi.
Brother, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Brother, you're wearing a brown habit. You're from the Capuchins. What's a little history about the Capuchin order for our listeners who may not know anything about the Franciscans?
Sure. So, in brief, you know, St. Francis.
11 minutes brief.
St. Francis, the great figure of the 13th century, he founded an order of men, and we call that the First Order of Franciscans, and it was a fraternity of men that lived together. And throughout the course of history, there were many different reforms, and the Franciscans really had a rather complicated family history.
True, like we all do. We all have a complicated family history.
And the Capuchins developed in the 1500s.
Okay.
And so there was a reform movement, and it's kind of ironic. The founders of the Capuchins all died not Capuchins. Unfortunately, some also died. Actually, they left the church. And some of the early Capuchin writers said that it's because we had kind of three original reformers that founded us. And some of the early Capuchin writers said the Trinity wanted to claim us. And so that's why the three of them didn't die Capuchins. But we were a reform order in the 1500s. And you could say there was a deep, deep desire to reclaim an ascetical life, a deep tradition of poverty that was so important to St. Francis, but also a profound contemplative life. And so you'll notice on my habit, I have a long hood.
Sure.
And that's actually symbolic of hermitages, of the eremitical life.
Okay.
Because when we were founded, we were helped by the Camaldolese monks in Italy.
Okay.
So you could say we were a reform order of the Franciscans that wanted to stress the importance of poverty and the importance of a contemplative life of prayer.
Now, you're a member of the Capuchin Franciscan Friars, but you're originally from Columbus.
I am originally from Columbus.
So you're homegrown.
Born and raised. Absolutely.
And not too far from St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios either. What drew you into the Franciscan Order?
You know, when I was 17 years old, I visited Italy.
Oh.
And when I came back, I thought I might have a vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a question that I was alive in me when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
You know, I was always kind of mesmerized by what happened at Mass, and I had some wonderful priests in my life growing up too. So there was always this voice in the background, but then something happened when I went to Italy. And when I came back, a wonderful priest here asked me if there was anything that struck me in particular.
Mm.
And I said, Padua and Assisi. I didn't think anything of it. And he said, well, you know, I don't want to influence you too much, but maybe you should think about the Capuchins.
Oh.
So that was the first time I heard about the Capuchins.
Yeah.
And then during this time also, I discovered who St. Bonaventure was. He was a great Franciscan theologian shortly after St. Francis.
Yeah.
I discovered Pope Benedict. And Pope Benedict also wrote on St. Bonaventure.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And so that was kind of a confirmation. And then at St. Louis University, where I went after I graduated high school, there was a Franciscan theologian, and he met with me weekly one semester to study individually the writings of St. Francis.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, I was sold. I was just really sold on St. Francis. And there was something in me that I wanted not only to study St. Francis, but I wanted to be existentially a part of the vision he developed. I thought about a religious vocation after I came back from Italy and I went to university. For the most part, I wasn't discerning. I wasn't thinking about a religious vocation. I was a student. Yeah. I loved my life at St. Louis, but I also you know, met a beautiful girl at that time, and but the voice was just still there.
Sure.
You know, the voice was just still there, and so by the end of it, I had to.
Yeah.
Listen to it.
You know, maybe just to get your feedback, your response, your thoughts. You know, a lot of times people will ask their parish priest, you know, well, what am I supposed to do, or what should I be saying in my prayers, or how should I be praying so as to know God's will? And of course, the simple answer, the most beautiful answer, is live life.
That sounds right.
You know, live the Christian life, you know. Don't find the broom closet in the church and hang out there all day and all night waiting for a special
memo. I would recommend
memo.
Against it.
You know, because that's creepy. Weird. And weird. You know, and there's nothing special. It's live the Christian life, you know, remaining in a state of grace, going to regular confession, making sure you receive our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist, fostering a deep love to Our Lady. You know, these are all the normal things that we should all be doing. Yeah. It's not just for father or brother or sister. You know, this is the normal life, mm-hmm. you know, living a life of Christ. And then things just become clear. But then there's that tendency to think, no, that's like what the really, really, really holy people do. Mm-hmm. And then when you talk to someone that people think are holy and they're like, I am not holy. You know, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm just trying to persevere. But you know, when you're going through public school, high school, then you go to university, you said that voice is there. And I think, you know, that's something that if we could drive home with our listeners, it's when you're living life, preferably a normal life, as normal as possible, you know, the Lord's voice is there. He's speaking, he's encouraging, he's inviting. You know, so I mean, the first answer I throw at someone is, you know, well, live life.
Yeah.
You know, avoid sin.
Yep.
Aim for grace. Live the Christian life. And unfortunately, you know, it's particularly beautiful that a young man like yourself would be able to at least acknowledge the voice of the Lord was there. And you may be hauntingly so. You know, the Lord will persevere after the
or
one he wants.
In a super quiet way.
Right.
I mean, it's just there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like what you said about life. You have to live life. The Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say, I'm the undecided one. Right? I mean, so he calls us to live life.
Yes.
And I have a great devotion to St. Joseph. Mm. And I love that in the beginning of Matthew's gospel, he's sleeping when the Lord speaks to him.
Yeah.
And Pope Benedict says only a man who is utterly available to the Lord listen to him even in his sleep.
It's true.
And so, you know, I think it's important to pray for a sense of availability.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, to live.
Yeah.
There's, I think rarely in life is there a great burning bush moment.
Yeah.
I would say generally that's not the norm,
right.
You know? And I always, I point to St. Augustine too. In some sense, he struggled his whole life. That's what's so attractive about the confessions.
It's true.
It's a gradual conversion. There are major moments in the book, major moments in his life, but I think the normative is not a burning bush moment where, oh yes, the Lord wants me to do this. You know, I think the Lord wants us to live and wants us to pray and wants us to seek him.
Yeah, just to love.
And to love.
You know, it's Monday. We're beginning the work week. Most people are heading home from having worked all day. And there's probably a fair amount of our listeners who are actually, you know, they've been home and now they're heading into work for the evening hours. And you have the whole week. You know, we just came off of the weekend. Of course, the weekend means something different for everybody these days. But for those of our listeners who went to Mass yesterday, Sunday Mass, now we're on Monday. And for those who are heading home, they've been working all day. Sunday Mass seems like it was ages ago already. You know, and this daily message of hope, you know, it's run right at this particular time of the day for a particular reason. It's because, you know, people are tired. You know, just shy of 5 p.m., people are already tired, and yet the day's not over. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot to come. And, you know, and then here we are like, well, Jesus wants you to live life. And you're like, I'm exhausted. I can't live anymore. And then we think about what's ahead of us, whether it's, you know, trying to avoid the crazy drivers to our right and our left, or, you know, the front and the rear. Or it's like maybe there's that pile of dishes on the kitchen counter or that pile of laundry that has to be washed or folded or put away. And yet, you know, perhaps the message for today is if we're looking for the Lord, if we're trying to listen to the Lord, then we just have to remember our first step is to live life, with the Lord, to hear his voice. And like Monsignor Gersani said, you know, in the unfolding of reality, that's where you find the will of the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, not from what you want,
yeah,
not from what someone else wants. It's just, well, pay attention to reality.
Yeah.
You know, in your own life, you've lived, you've loved. You know, looking ahead, what would you throw out to our listeners?
Well, you know, I had my first year of formation, I hit kind of one of those rock bottom moments that happen when you're in formation. And this was my first year in formation with the Capuchins. And I was extremely sad. I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be a Capuchin. I couldn't see myself as a Capuchin in the future. Let the litany flow, right?
Yeah.
And there was an older nun who worked ceaselessly in this parish area. And she saw that I was having a hard time. And so she said, brother, come in the car. I have to get my oil changed. She takes me for a ride and she says, what's going on? And I just vomited my grief. And she said, very serenely, she said, oh, honey, you can't play that game. She says, God's will doesn't exist 10 years in the future for you. Yeah. The gospel is right now. Does he want you to leave right now? Then don't leave. Stop complaining. Come change my car tires with me or whatever it was. And it was really marvelous. And I've taken that advice simply, that the Lord has ordained every detail of our life.
Yeah.
Every detail of our life is utterly important to him.
Yeah.
No matter how tragic it might be or how simple it might be, every detail has a plan for him. And he is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him in every moment and in every detail of our life. And so one of the things that we can always do is we can give these details back to him. And when we're utterly tired and don't want to do something, just give it back to him. You know, Lord, you knew I would be super tired right now.
Yep.
And yet you've called me here. So I think what's really important about that is we can constantly take every moment and every detail of our days, no matter how mundane they might be, and we can constantly turn them over to the Lord. And that in itself leads us into a deeper sense of prayer throughout the day.
There you have it. May the Lord give you his peace.